Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Very good. So we'll read now from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, Chapter 17, the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya in his youth. So, we're going to start reading from verse 21, and this is a very famous verse that Lord Chaitanya would quote regularly, frequently, and one we should all know. Hariya Naam, Hariya Naam, Hariya Naam, Eva Kevalam. Kalo nasjeva, 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 gatir anyata. In this age of Kali, there is no other means, no other means, no other means for self-realization than chanting the holy name, chanting the holy name, chanting the holy name of Lord Hari. Kali Kale Nama Rupe Krishna Avatar Nama Haite Haya Sarva Jagata Nistar. In this age of Kali, the holy name of the Lord, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, is the incarnation of Lord Krishna. Simply by chanting the holy name, one associates with the Lord directly. Anyone who does this is certainly delivered. Darja Lagi Hariya Nama Ukti Tinavara Jada Loka Bujaite Puna Eva Kara. This verse repeats the word Eva, certainly, three times for emphasis. And it also three times repeats Hariya Naam, the holy name of the Lord, just to make common people understand. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. To emphasize something to an ordinary person, one may repeat it three times, just as one might say, you must do this, you must do this, you must do this. Thus, the Brihan Naradiya Purana repeatedly emphasizes the chanting of the holy name so that people may take it seriously and thus free themselves from the clutches of Maya. It is our practical experience in the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world that many millions of people are factually coming to the spiritual stage of life simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra regularly, according to the prescribed principles. Therefore, our request to all our students is that they daily chant at least 16 rounds of this Hare Naam Maha Mantra offenselessly, following the regulative principles. Thus, their success will be assured without a doubt. We could just mention. Well, let's read a little bit further on. Kevala shabde punarapi nishchaya karana jnana yoga tapakarana adi nivarana. The use of the word kevala only prohibits all other processes, such as the cultivation of knowledge, practice of mystic yoga, or performance of austerities and fruitive activities. And again, purport by Srila Prabhupada. Our Krishna consciousness movement stresses the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra only, whereas those who do not know the secret of success for this age of Kali unnecessarily indulge in the cultivation of knowledge, the practice of mystic yoga, or the performance of fruitive activities, or useless austerities. They are simply wasting their time and misleading their followers. When we point this out very plainly to an audience, members of opposing groups become angry at us. But according to the injunctions of the Shastras, we cannot make compromises with these so-called jnanis, yogis, karmis, and tapasvis. When they say they are as good as we are, we must say that only we are good and that they are not good. This is not our obstinacy. It is the injunction of the Shastras. We must not deviate from the injunctions of the Shastras. This is confirmed in the next verse of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Anyata ye mane tara, nahi ka nistara, nahi nahi, nahi e, tina eva kara. This verse clearly states that anyone who accepts any other path cannot be delivered. This is the reason for the triple repetition, nothing else, nothing else, nothing else, which emphasizes the real process of self-realization. Trinahaite nichahana sadalabe nama apani nira bimani anye dibe mana. To chant the holy name always, one should be humbler than the grass in the street, and devoid of all sense for personal honor. But one should offer others all respectful obeisances. Taru sama sahishnuta vaishnava karibe bhatsana tadane kake kichuna balibe. A devotee engaged in chanting the holy name of the Lord should practice forbearance like that of a tree. Even if rebuked or chastised, he should not say anything to others to retaliate. Kati leha taru yena kichu na bolaya shukaiya mare tabu jalana magaya. For even if one cuts a tree, it never protests, and even if it is drying up and dying, it does not ask anyone for water. So let's just say a few words then. If anyone has any questions or comments, we could discuss that a bit. So now, here, Lord Chaitanya. On our altar, we have Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. Lord Chaitanya is on my side, you could say. And Lord Nityananda is on the other side there, your left-hand side. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna. He is Ram directly. Here is Ram, of course, in this beautiful painting on the side. And Lord Nityananda is Balaram, Lord Krishna's brother. And he is Lakshman. Lakshman is there on our right in that picture, just next to Sita. Ram is in the middle, of course, then Sita is on our right of Ram, and then Lakshman is the next figure to the right. So they are the same persons, just appearing at different times with slightly different missions. So here, Lord Chaitanya, he is explaining what is really the very most essential fact, reality of religion in this current day and age. This is the Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga, it means the age of quarrel. There are four ages. Satya Yuga. Satya, of course, means truth. Something very good, very pure, and just right. So that is the golden age, the first age. Then there's Treta Yuga, it's something like a silver age. That's the second age. Dwapara Yuga is the third age, it's perhaps like a bronze age, something like that. And then the fourth age in the cycle, it's a cyclical process going around and around and repeating itself. Fourth age is this Kali Yuga. And Kali, it's like an iron age. Kali literally means quarrel, actually. Kali. This is not Kali, but Kali. Kali means quarrel. This is the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. I think we can see that very clearly, isn't it? All over. It's a very difficult age. So, in this age of Kali here, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining that the prescribed process is chanting the holy names. There are so many processes. We know, I think, very well, at least some. For example, worshipping the deity is another process, is a different process. Performing some sort of meditation, silent meditation, sitting, trying to fix the mind on God. This is another process. Another process. And a process like fire sacrifice, havan. This is another process again. So these are a number, the four processes we've mentioned. But of course there are many more also. There's so many processes given in the Vedic scriptures. However, in this Kali Yuga, this day and age, the process which is not just recommended, but here, if we were listening carefully, then we would have heard that Lord Chaitanya said that in this Kali Yuga, there really is no other process which has that shakti, that potency, and which is suitable and capable of elevating us to the spiritual platform of God realization. So now, in order to make this point and emphasize this point, Lord Chaitanya spoke one verse, which is not of his own creation, But it is quoted from the Vedas, from the Vedic scriptures, specifically Brihan Naradiya Purana, one of the Puranas. Brihan Naradiya Purana. So in that Vedic scripture, in that Purana, there's this verse, Harianam, 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 Eva Kevalam. Kalo Nastyeva, 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 Gati Aranyata. That in this age of Kali, there is no other way, no other way, no other way, Gatir Anyata, for achieving the goal, than Harianam, Harianam, Harianam. Chanting the holy names, chanting the holy names, chanting the holy names. Ah, yes. So, the holy names of Hari, of Krishna. So this is coming from scripture. In other words, this is coming from God. This is not of our own creation. This is actually authentic and authoritative in all respects. So what does it mean? What is really the message? The message is that without this chanting of the holy names of Krishna, Hari, of God, other processes, even though they're very good, they're very nice, not that they're bad or wrong, they're very good, they're very wonderful and glorious, but they do not have that potency in and of themselves, if isolated from other practices, particularly chanting the holy names. They do not have the potency to bring one to the level of God realization. As I said, this does not mean that other processes are wrong or bad. Otherwise, why are we doing deity worship, which is another process? Why are we also doing silent meditation sometimes? For those in Krishna consciousness who are twice initiated, received first and second initiation, three times a day they chant, they meditate silently. Why is it then that we do havan, fire sacrifice? If you come here tomorrow, then around this time, actually probably around 4 or 4:30, we'll be doing a fire sacrifice here, right here, in this temple room. We'll be doing a fire sacrifice, and because tomorrow we're having an initiation ceremony. So, on certain occasions, we also perform fire sacrifice. But the point is that these processes, even though they're very wonderful and glorious and correct, but they don't have that potency, the same potency at least, as the chanting of the holy names, of bringing out that dormant God consciousness, which is there within the heart of every living entity. Actually, we see. If you think about it, you'll understand. You'll see it practically before your eyes in that when we chant the holy names, particularly when we chant in kirtan, like last night at 7 o'clock, while we're doing the arti through to 7:30, we are having kirtan, everyone standing and singing, chanting the holy names, the same Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And so many of the devotees were dancing and chanting, isn't it? In fact, some people may have thought it was a little wild, the Hare Krishna disco or something. Anyway, but why are they dancing? Because they're feeling that inspiration of Krishna and of Ram,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yes, this is the process for this age. And the result comes in the form of that spiritual inspiration, even to the point of dancing in great ecstasy and being so inspired and enthused. So other processes, they're very, very nice and also very important, but they do not have that impact on the self that the chanting of the holy names does. And this we can see with our own eyes. Even though the other processes are very nice. Like tomorrow we'll be doing a havan, fire sacrifice, as we mentioned. But as we are chanting the mantras and throwing the grains in the fire, you will not see, my prediction at least is, you'll not see people leaping and jumping. They'll be sitting quietly and chanting the mantras and so on. It's very nice. Yes, so this chanting is very effective. And also, it can be done anywhere, anytime. Can you imagine doing silent meditation, say, on some big shopping street, like, what's it called, Commissioner Street, or in the middle of Santon City, Saturday morning, 11 o'clock, can you imagine? Doing your silent meditation there? Some big shopping street like Oxford Street in London, Fifth Avenue in New York. Can you imagine? How would you sit down and silently meditate in such a situation successfully with all that noise and commotion? But the devotees go into those same streets, chanting together out loud, and becoming so absorbed, dancing, they're oblivious to the surroundings, altogether oblivious. Having become absorbed and situated on the spiritual platform through that activity. So, Lord Chaitanya is stressing here so much, in this age of Kali, not that you should not worship the deity. We're worshipping the deity. Not that one should not do these other things, but one must chant the holy names, really, to get maximum benefit. Please come in, everyone. I wonder if we could just leave a little opening there so people can come in. Yes. So this is the process in the Kali Yuga. And that verse from that Purana, Brihanaradiya Purana, in order to make the point clear, has repeated three times, Hari Anam, Hari Anam, Hari Anam. When it was chant the holy names of Hari, chant the holy names, chant the holy names. Kalo, Nascheva, Nascheva, Nascheva. There's no other way, no other way, no other way. Gatiranyata. Three times. This is a Vedic, according to the Vedic scriptures, there are different ways of doing things, and if you do things in a particular way, there's a certain implication, natural understood implication. So if something is repeated three times, that means it is imperative. Imperative means must. It doesn't mean may. It doesn't mean should. It doesn't mean anything like that. It means must. Imperative. Yes, so that verse, which is from the ancient, eternal Vedic literatures, is expressing things in these terms so emphatically, when one must chant the holy names. Now, do we have some questions there? Is that it? Adiras? Okay, just finish that one. Just finish it. We'll answer a few questions, and then, just in 5 or 10 minutes, we'll start the official proceedings that we've all gathered here for. Interesting question, slightly technical, but relevant. In the 13th chapter of Adi Lila, of this Chaitanya Charitamrita, what we're reading, it speaks of the birth of Lord Chaitanya and his brother, Vishwaroop. It states that he is also Sankarshan, Balaram. We know that Nityananda is also Balaram. Please explain. Isn't that interesting? Lord Balaram is appearing twice. Yeah. And actually, they're all forms of Krishna. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna. Lord Nityananda is Balaram. And Balaram is Krishna. So all of them are forms of Krishna himself, ultimately. Yeah. So the Lord does things like this. He appears in multi-forms. Even in the appearance of Lord Chaitanya, we know that Lord Chaitanya is Krishna, but he is Krishna and Radharani together. Just see. Two in one. We have one in two, and we have two in one. Oh, this is very spectacular, isn't it? We can't do that. It's really like that, though. So we have Lord Chaitanya, who is, well, Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna, Nahe Anya. Which means, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya, is Nahi Anya, none other than Radha Krishna, the combined form of Radharani and Krishna. So there's Radharani also. Always with Krishna. You'll never find Krishna alone, and particularly you'll never find him without Radharani. In this case, they're both in the same body. However, on top of this, just to make things transcendentally richer, we have within the Panchatattva, Lord Chaitanya with his associates, five entities, five forms of the Supreme Lord. We have Gadadha, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadha, Sri Vasudhi Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Now, who is Gadadha? None other than Radharani. So again, we have one and two. It's a bit much for our little brains, isn't it? You know, actually, one time Prabhupada was discussing, well, one devotee was asking Prabhupada about the process of creation and how all the planetary systems are within the stem of the lotus flower, coming from the navel of Lord Vishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, who is lying at the bottom of this universe. So that lotus comes from the navel, and on top Lord Brahma appears, the creator, and within the stem are the planetary systems. So our devotee was asking Prabhupada about this, that, you know, how does it work? They're all within this thing, but we look out, we see space, and our telescopes see space going such a long way out. How could they be within, and how's it all working? Within the stem of this lotus flower. Prabhupada's answer was, that is too much for your puppy brain. Yes. So we don't mind being Prabhupada's puppies, wearing our dog collars. In that sense, we don't mind. Yeah. And sometimes Prabhupada would be asked questions, you know, sort of obscure questions. Prabhupada's answer would be that the answer to your question is Hare Krishna. That's the answer. In other words, don't worry about it. Just relax. Yes, so the Lord can do like that. We can't. The same one person. Are you going dressed like this to work? No. Now you're in your Krishna conscious mood of, you know, you're really into doing your Krishna consciousness, so you're dressed like that. But on Monday you'll be going to the airport to work on the aeroplanes, I think, isn't it? Or something. So you'll be maybe, I don't know, in some overalls, is it? Some overalls, because he's in his working mood then. So he dresses differently according to the mood. And, you know, when he sleeps at night, I suppose he puts on some sleeping clothes, which are different, because then he's in his sleeping mood. So us, we get into different moods and do different activities, and we dress differently. We dress differently, although we remain the same person. But we're in these quite different clothes. We look different. I mean, in certain respects, at least, we look different. But Krishna, when he gets into different moods, he manifests different forms. How's that? Whole different body. Apparently a different person, but it's not a different person. It's the same person. But in a different mood, he assumes a different form. Like when he's in a playful, jolly mood, he assumes the form of Krishna. When he's in the majestic mood, grand mood of being the Lord, he may take a form like Ram. When he's in the very merciful mood, he may take a form like Lord Chaitanya. When he's in a very angry mood, he takes a form like Lord Nrisingadev. Different moods, different bodies. So actually you get so many forms of the Lord. But actually they're one person. They're not 2, 3, 10, 100, 1,000. They're one person. Yes. So that is one of the differences between him and us. So therefore, yes, you get the Lord. Radharani is manifesting twice. Lord Balaram is manifesting twice. In some forms, you have two persons present. So if we find it difficult to sort of calculate this into our, you know, way of seeing reality on the everyday basis, we would tell you that the answer is Hare Krishna. It's okay. Just chant Hare Krishna and be happy. And be thankful. Be happy and thankful that we have such a wonderful Lord. And he can do things like this. He can do anything. If all religions claim to be spiritual and peaceful, how come there's so much war in the world, especially among people who claim to be religious and pious? Well, that's a good question, isn't it? Well, you know, all religions claim to be spiritual and peaceful. But, you know, so many people claim so many things, isn't it? So many people claim so many things. But is it really like that? Is it necessarily? What about all the advertising you see around? Is it really like that? You smoke a Lexington cigarette and you taste America. How's that? if you want to know what America tastes like. But no, we say this is just rubbish, actually. Coke is it. Whatever it is. This is just clever double talk. So, you know, if we really want to see, if we really want to understand, then we have to look and see what is going on. What is going on? Is it really spiritual? Prabhupada said, one should see, are they loving God, G-O-D, or are they loving dog, D-O-G? Meaning, not that we're opposed to dogs, because Krishna even has a dog, pet dog. But dog, in this sense, means the world and just materialism. That we are in love with getting a better motor car, a better house, a better television, better clothes, so we can impress people more and maybe even attract the opposite sex more. This is what we mean by loving dog. That actually we're in love with this world and we're trying to get as much sense gratification out of this world as we can. But God, who? Oh, him. Well, he's the one we pray to get these things. Sometimes, if we're having difficulty by other means, then we pray to God. If all else fails, pray to God. Anyway, some people, they actually think like that. Yeah. But loving God means not what can God do for me? And if he doesn't perform, I will convert. Loving God does not mean what can God do for me? Loving God means what can I do for God? This is what love means, isn't it? How, you know, if there's some person, they say, oh, I love you, I love you, I love you so much. Oh, I love you, I love you. And then you ask them, well, would you mind buying me, you know, some new clothes? Oh, no, 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 no. Oh, I don't want to do that. I've got other things to buy for me. Would you give me a little time and come with me somewhere? Oh, no, 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 I'm very busy. But I love you. Oh, I really love you. But I'm very busy doing things for myself. But I do love you. And buying things for myself. So I don't really have much money for you. I've got plenty for myself. You get the idea? Loving dog, or this world, for one's own sense gratification. Or loving God. Actually, that he matters, that I want to please him. I want to express myself. I want to express by doing so many things and serving him and glorifying him like that. So this is really what it's about. Oh yes, so anyway, we were saying, one has to see. One has to see. Also, one has to see. People, they're following this process, that process, this religion, that religion. There are many to choose from. So you have to see on one hand that they're actually loving God, focusing on him and trying to please him. They're not just in it for themselves. On the other hand, you also have to see that they're becoming free from the degradations, all the degrading influences of this material world. Lust, anger, greed. You have to see that they're becoming free from the bad habits of this world. They're becoming free from sin. Yes, you have to see that. They're actually becoming pure. in fact, in their lives. That's why in Krishna consciousness, like we mentioned earlier, tomorrow afternoon there'll be an initiation ceremony. So the devotees being initiated, they'll be taking vows that for the rest of this life, they will not eat meat, fish or eggs, not take any intoxication, not engage in illicit sex life, and not gamble for the rest of this life. They'll be vowing, among other things. They'll be vowing like that. So these are sinful activities. Everyone knows. Drinking liquor, taking drugs, it's very bad. Gambling, illicit sex, these things are so destructive. They're sinful activities. So if someone is advancing, if they're progressing spiritually, then you have to see they're becoming free from these things. Therefore, we insist on them at the time of initiation. And initiate, after all, means to begin. Not when you come to the highest level, then you stop those things, but when you begin. So it's like that. You know, and Prabhupada actually gave the example that of doctors. Doctors. If you get sick, you have to see a doctor. You want to see a good doctor. You don't want just some quack or something like that. So you have to look into it and see. Check it out. Who's a good doctor? And what does a good doctor mean? Obviously it means that sick people go to see him. He deals with them. They come out healthy. If the sick people go in to see him and they come out sick, what does that mean? It means he's not a good doctor. That's an obvious thing. Like education, you want your children to get a good education. If they are going to the school and they're coming back and then their English isn't improving, their mathematics is not improving, you know, these things are quantifiable. These are not just airy-fairy things. These are quantifiable, objective realities. You want to see that they're going on, moving on, and advancing. But if they're not, then you know this is not a good school. So like this, we should want to progress spiritually, really. So we have to look and see. There's so many options, this process, that process. We want to see, by looking at the people in the processes, who is actually developing love for God and who is becoming free from these bad habits, these sinful activities. Otherwise, anyone can say anything, isn't it? Anyone can claim anything. Our product is the best. Anyone will say that. You know, isn't it? Toyota motor car is the best. Nissan is the best. You know, Rolls Royce is the best. Mercedes-Benz is the best. But some are better than others, isn't it? Namacharya got a new Toyota Taz 130 yesterday. Someone else yesterday probably got a new, you know, Rolls Royce, something or other. So one is actually better than the other, in fact. Yeah. But they'll advertise, oh, Toyota Taz 130, it's the best. It's sales talk. You know, and once you grow up a bit, you've got to be able to see through sales talk, don't you? Otherwise you're going to just get sucked into everything and you'll never have any money. And anyway, you know what I mean. Okay, now here's our last question. How can one develop faith in the process of Krishna consciousness? Yes, well, that's a very relevant point, question. How does one develop faith, that conviction? When we say faith, what do we mean, really? Do we mean just like a belief Actually, it's unknown. It's really unknown. But we just believe it particularly strongly, even though there's nothing tangible. There's actually nothing tangible. It's simply a belief. No. Faith. Better than that is at least a conviction based on some logical understanding and explanation, which makes good sense, isn't it? Better than just, you know, you've got no idea. And there's just no way to test it at all. But still you just believe. Yes. So there are different levels then. So how to develop faith in Krishna consciousness? How to become more convinced? Not just in that sense of believing more strongly, but in the sense of seeing the reality in it more clearly, even though you may not see the whole reality, but still it's coming step by step, clearer and clearer. In fact, so how to develop that type of faith? Well, you need to associate with people who have that faith. And even beyond having that faith, associate with people who have actually experienced it and realized it. So it's gone beyond just being faith and has become a reality in their lives. So association is very, very important. You'll become like those people who you associate with, basically. If you associate with drunkards, you'll become a drunkard. If you associate with devotees, you'll become a devotee. Yes, like this. Of course, you can read the books because there's so much information there. Krishna's giving so many explanations. But if you think about it, you'll see it's another form of association. Yeah. Reading the books is another form of association. Actually, you're doing the same thing, but just in a different way. Yeah. Therefore, Krishna says, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that if you read this Bhagavad Gita, you will worship me with your intelligence. Intelligence means that truly logical aspect of our psychology. Not just the mind which gets drawn this way and that, but the truly logical part of our psychology, the intelligence. We will worship Krishna with our intelligence, not just praying, you know, I hope you'll give me some more money, please, or something like that. Not that. Of course, he may give you more money. That's possible. I mean, not just possible, but he does. Sometimes. But not just that. Now, I'm going to inquire here what Hamara program kya hai? We'll begin now. Are we ready to begin? Oh, well, I was just waiting for someone to manifest to take over. All right. Thank you all for listening very patiently. And thank you all very much for coming. And thank you all very much for helping. I know so many, if not all of you, have really helped in very real ways, very solid ways. And you actually stood up, you know. Stand up and be counted, they say. So you stood up and you really did something tangible. And as a result, we have this wonderful, wonderful facility. So thank you in so many ways. And actually, that's what our program is about this evening. We want to try in our small way to make some gestures of thanks to you all. So we'll hand over to our MC, His Grace, Prabhu Vishnu Prabhu. Sri Sri Nitai Gaura Hare Ki. Sri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ki. Hare Krishna.